Now we're going to get into the Word of God. This is Mother's Day, and I'm going to give you a familiar passage of Scripture. Tonight I was going to deal with Hannah, which is probably one of the key texts with regards to Mother's Day. I imagine if there's 500,000 messages being preached today on mothers, that 250,000 of them or more came from the text of Hannah. And she prayed for a child, and God answered that prayer. But I'm not turning there. We, as a church today, have kind of been looking at honoring mothers. So would you turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, Ephesians chapter number 6, and verses 1 through 3. A familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you could quote it, and I'm sure most of these young people down here could quote it. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 3, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The rest of you will be there in a little bit. I'm sorry, you're supposed to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Did I say?
Yes.
You're in 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. As we watch the video this morning, honoring mothers, taking some time to just recognize God's work in our lives and the gift of a child. There was one junior high teacher who was teaching a lesson in science class on magnets and trying to illustrate and teach the children about the attracting power of magnets. And he gave them a short riddle as he opened the class. Then he said, my name starts with an M, and I pick things up. What am I? And half the class wrote, mother. We want to honor and respect you. Not just for the things that you pick up, but for all that you do. The idea to honor is to respect, to revere, to reverence, to elevate to a rank of office, to exalt, to glorify. This morning, mothers, we honor you. We honor you, first of all, because it is right. It is right for us to do. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And the Bible tells us in our text here this morning to honor thy father and thy mother. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, in verse number 16, he says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So it is right, it's right that we honor moms, amen?
Amen?
It is something that we should do. It is something that God wants us to do, and we honor you today, and hopefully not just today, but every day we honor you. In Judges chapter 21, verse number 25, the Bible tells us that the men of that time did that which was right in their own eyes. So I wonder, are we supposed to do just that which is right in our own eyes? Or are we to do what's right in God's eyes? We're supposed to do what's right in God's eyes. And we've seen very clearly this morning in the several texts that I read that it is right for us to honor our moms. You understand this morning that the foundation of society is the family. I could give you a lot of statistics that illustrate. It's actually quite mind-boggling. However, in one service where I got into that with some details, somebody told me that was very discouraging, Pastor. And I don't want to discourage you on Mother's Day. So I won't get into the details, but let me just say that the family is the foundational unit of any society. Let me give you an article out of that very conservative magazine, newspaper, the New York Times. This stalwart of conservatism written by William Bennett, an article in the New York Times titled, Stronger Families Equal a Stronger Society. He says, this William Bennett says, I am the product of a divorce, living with several different stepfathers. Do you understand? He's not letting his life dictate what's right. He realizes the shortcomings and the failings of his past. And he says this, although I'm a product of divorce and several different stepfathers, I still believe in the importance of a traditional family. Not because I watched Leave It to Beaver, but because of the facts and the records. The family is the nucleus of civilization and the basic unit of any society. Aristotle wrote that the family is nature's established association for the supply of mankind's everyday wants and needs. For a civilization to succeed, the family must succeed. Now that is a quote directly read out of the New York Times. Probably the only time I'll ever read out of the New York Times on a Sunday morning. But I can tell you that if in the New York Times somebody would write such a statement, I think that here in church we ought to be able to agree that the family is a foundational unit of society. Amen? And you understand this morning that the foundation is in trouble. The focus today is not on service, but on self. It's what do I want? How do I feel? What are my needs? To give you a picture of how much trouble we are in, to help you understand how far we've gone in the focus on self in our narcissistic society today, there is an up-and-coming practice called soligamy. Soligamy. It's where a man or a woman will marry themselves. It's not polygamy. That's where you marry a bunch of people. It's not marriage. That's where you marry one. It's soligamy, where you get to marry yourself. You declare publicly, you have a ceremony, you bring everybody, you have cake, and you marry yourself. If you let your mind go with that, it's just... I'm not sure who gets the cat in the divorce. I don't know how that happens, but I'm just saying that we are a self-centered society today. But somebody that has long since stood as a testament of an opposition to that is a mother. For mom is the bedrock of a family. Mom is that selfless one who serves continually her loved ones and holds a family together. This morning, we want to honor you from our heart. We want to do what's right in the eyes of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, young people, the best way to honor your mom is to obey what she says. To do what she asks. You can honor her by obeying her. Let me add, with a good spirit, with a smile on your face. With mom, I would love to do that. I love you so much, I'm glad to pick up my shoes. I'm glad to do that. We need to honor our mothers and young people. The best way to do that is by obeying them. It's right for you kids to obey and honor your mom. Amen. You know, it's not only right just for the young people here, but it's right for us who are a little older as well. Yeah. To honor our mother. You know, just think about all that mom has done for you. Think about the time that mom has cared for you when you were sick. Think about mom's loving arms and embrace in the time of need. You know, most mothers, they spoil their kids. They spoil them. You know, at the same time, mom is declaring, what do you think I am? Some kind of maid that I pick up everything in the house after all of you? At the same time she's declaring it, she's picking up everything in the house. You know, it wouldn't hurt, mom, for you to actually not pick it up and leave it for the kid to pick up. Sometimes, moms, your servant's heart and your desire to just do it all, you need to make the kids do it. They need to pick it up. And besides, they love you so much, they would be glad to. Amen? Amen? These kids are like, please, no, stop. Pastor, you're killing us. There goes my game time. Even if we're older, it's right for us to honor. Let me encourage you today, if you're not at home with mom still, to take a moment and at least call her. Honor her with a phone call today. Let her know what she means and how much you love her. We honor you today because it's right. We honor you today. You're going to like this one. Because of the reward. I know this isn't for you. It's for us. You see, the Bible says that honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first commandment with promise. There is a reward, kids, for honoring your mom. There is a reward for honoring your mom. That is, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. There is a promise from God that if you honor your mother, it'll be well with thee. You want to have a good life? You want to succeed in life? Honor your mother. A mother's instruction and discipline is for your benefit. It is so that it will be well with you. Now, I know most kids think that a mother's instruction is she punishes them for her pleasure. But that's not the case. Mom doesn't say no just to be mean. Mom doesn't say no, you can't do that just because she doesn't like you anymore. Mom says no because she has your best interest at heart. She wants it to be well with you. She wants you to succeed in life. She wants you to have the best of life. She wants what's best for you, and if she could give it to you, she would. But part of giving you what's best is sometimes saying no. Right? Any of you adults agree with that?
Amen.
Part of saying no, Brother Sam Mendoza here was telling me the other night at my house about his mother. Now, you know, Brother Mendoza's not that tall, okay? But he said his mom is shorter than him. Comes up to about here on him, he says. And he says, you know, she would put her finger out and say, come here. Closer. He said, I'd be creeping closer, and she'd say, closer. He said, I look at her and say, Mom, what are you going to do? She said, she would say, are you afraid of a little old woman? She says, his mom would say, closer. He said, well, she would get about this far from my face. And he says, at one time, she took her hand and she went, bam, splat right in his face. And she said, she would put her little finger and she would look up at him and say, you better not talk to me like that. You know, mom does that because she loves you. Mom does that because she cares. And if you would honor her, you have the reward of a promise of a reward from God. She doesn't say it just to be mean. Susanna Wesley, a mother of 17 children, including John and Charles Wesley, said the following statement. The parent who studies to subdue the self-will of his child works together with God in the renewing and the saving of his soul. You hear that? The parent who studies to subdue the self-will of a child In today's world, psychologists are telling you, let them do what they want. Just do whatever they want. Let them get it out. Let them have, you know, that is contrary to this book. In studying for this message, I read about mothers who are talking about pulling their hair out. They said, they tell me it gets easier. They're talking about how their kids throw things at them. How their children yell and scream no at every demand given unto them. Do you understand that's a parent who has not followed biblical principle, who has not studied to subdue the self-will of the child? Does that make sense? You're doing it to yourself, and I don't understand why. It's like sitting in the car and pushing the horn as hard as you can until you can't stand it anymore and saying, I don't know why this horn is so loud. This is driving me nuts. This is ridiculous. This horn, and the whole time you're pushing it. A lot of parents are doing it to themselves. You know, we've had people apologize to us because we had 5 kids. It got to the point where Alicia was frustrated. We go through the grocery store line, and the lady would be like, oh, I'm sorry. You got 5 kids? Oh, my goodness. You know why? Because they think it's some big burden. But if you do it right, it's not a burden. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Let me read the rest of this to you because it is vitally important. She says, the parent who studies to subdue the self-will of his child works together with God in renewing of the saving of his soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and owes all that is in him lies to damn his child's soul and body forever. That's a strong statement. You're either working with God or for the devil in how you're training those kids. Every mother has made mistakes. Kids, your moms know they're not perfect. Every mother has made mistakes. But the biggest thing is they're trying to keep you from making the mistakes that they made. They want what's better for you. The silly sayings that moms have is to keep you from making the mistakes. The sayings like, don't make me come over there because I said so. If you don't have anything nice to say, do you want me to stop this car? As long as you live under my roof, you'll do as I say. Call me when you get there, just so I know you're okay. Don't talk with your mouth full. I hope someday you have children just like you. That's right, life's not fair. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Money doesn't grow on trees. Nobody asked you. If I want your opinion, I'll ask for it. If you're too full for dinner, you're too full for dessert. I'll treat you like an adult when you act like one. I'm going to give you until the count of 3. What part of no don't you understand? Where do you think you're going? Who died and left you boss? And I'll always love you no matter what. That's a mother's love. You get the reward of a prosperous and successful life, but you also get the reward of a long life if you honor your mother. That you may live long on the earth. You can have a full life and you can have a long life if you honor your mother. What an amazing promise from God. Do you know the greatest reward that anybody could give their mother is to have eternal life? Not just long life here on earth, but eternal life in heaven. How many boys have had a mother who day after day after day prays for their lost soul. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I guarantee you the greatest gift you could give your mother is to trust the Lord today, to ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And you'll be able to not just spend time together here on earth, but time together in heaven. Follow me as I read this poem to you. I think oftentimes of the night that draws nigh, of the old house on the hill, of the yard all wide and blossomed starry-eyed, when the children played at will. And when the night at last came down, hushing the merry den, mother would look around and ask, "Are all my children in?" 'Tis many a year and since then, and the old house on the hill no longer echoes to childish feet, and the yard still sits still. But I see it all as the shadows creep, and through the many years have been, since then I can hear my mother ask, "Are all my children in?" I wonder if when shadow falls on that last short earthly day, when we all say goodbye to the world outside, all children stopping their childish play, when we step out into that other land where mother has long since been, will I once hear her ask again, just as of old, "Are all my children in?" I'll tell you what, mom wants to see all of her children safe in the home. And mom wants to see all of her children safe in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here and you don't know, I know the greatest joy you could bring your mother is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's nothing that would make your mother happier than to know you're forgiven and on your way to heaven.
Amen.
We honor you because it's right. We honor you because we're rewarded for it. Sorry. But you know what? We also honor you because you're royalty. Because you deserve it. Because you continually sacrifice for us. Most of the time, giving of yourself, putting your needs on the back burner, and putting all those you love and care in front of your own. Like the mom who got up to prepare herself breakfast. And 45 minutes later, as she was cleaning up the kitchen, she realized everybody was fed except her. That's how mothers are. They sacrificially give of themselves. We know that you don't ask for it, but today we applaud you. And every day for the mother who loves. It's that mother's motivation that pushes you to put your needs second for those you love. In a cemetery in New Orleans stands a monument that attracts much attention. It was designed to represent a great ship. This monument there with this ship, and it was also designed to show that an equally great storm that was overtaking that ship. And on top of the ship stands a mother and a daughter with a look of horror on their faces as the storm overtakes their ship. On the caption, on the plaque on the bottom is a description of the conflict that faced the lawyers as these two passed in this sunken ship. The lawyers questioned who was the first to die because the large estate needed to be named in the last living heir. Some deliberated, and the court ultimately decided that this should be administered in the name of the daughter, figuring that she would have gone down last. They reasoned that the mother would have held her daughter up in the place of safety at the sacrifice of her own life, even if just to give her daughter one more minute to live. So the estate was awarded and given in the daughter's name because they understood the sacrificial love of a mother. We thank you, Mom, and we honor you for loving us when many times we are anything but lovable. We thank you for listening to us. You listen to us cry and you listen to us whine. You listen to us when things don't go our way. You listen when we stub our toe or we skin our knee. You hold us in your arms. You listen when we are brokenhearted, and our broken heart leads us to believe our life is over. You listen when we share the greatest of joys. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you, Mom, for lifting us up. A writer tells of visiting one who had given himself to the development of a great mind. He had a large estate. He had been awarded many things, and he was very successful as they walked through his great amount of property and beheld many of his treasures. But being a Christian man, his humility, he soon grew weary of looking at his wealth. He asked those that came to see him, "Would you like to see something that is truly dear to me? Something that I really hold in great value?" And they said yes. They went into his house and he opened the doors of his safe. And there he brought forth the precious little crate. He opened the crate and inside was not a bunch of jewels, not a bunch of money, but there was one black laced shawl laying in the bottom of this crate. He said, "My mother wore this around her shoulders, and when she passed, it is the only thing that I wanted. It was a constant reminder to me of the many hours she spent in prayer and in the scriptures for me. When she admonished me and comforted me, these memories brought me to Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is my most dear possession. I look at it as a reminder of the Christian life that she lived that brought me to Jesus Christ." We want to lift you today as you have taken time and time again your energy to lift us. We lift you today by saying we know that you're not perfect and that it's okay. We accept you the way you are. We love you just as you are. So we rejoice with you that when we have been the benefactor of all that mothers love, and you lay your head down satisfied with the job well done, we ask to hold you up when your drive for perfection causes you to focus on the missed opportunity or causes you to feel that you're not all you should be. We ask to hold you up and let you know we love you just the way you are. When you're feeling that you don't measure up, we want you to know, Mom, that in our eyes, you do. We gladly acknowledge the difficulty of your task, and we thank you for more than the seen sacrifices, but for the untold number of unseen sacrifices, the nights without sleep and the hours of prayer and all the thought and planning that could be seen in every day's activities if we would just stop and take the time to notice your love. We respect you for keeping your cool when it would have been far easier to lose it. We thank you for balancing all that life demands of you and doing it most of the time with a smile. Let us encourage you today that it's okay. You don't have to have all of the answers. It's enough that you stop and listen. It's enough that you love. It's okay that you're not perfect. You're perfect for us. That's why God gave you to us. Mom, we thank you. We wanted to honor you today because it's right to do. Because there's a reward for doing it. And because to us, Mom, you're royalty. Today we honor you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Dear God, as we have taken a few minutes to, in our hearts, contemplate and think about what our mothers mean to us, I ask God that our fondness, our love, and our appreciation for our mothers grown, realizing the gift that you have given us. Lord, we pray that you would be with every heart here. And Lord, if there's one that has not trusted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, they would feel their need of a Savior today, they would quite possibly answer the prayer of their own mother, who years and years have been praying for their salvation. I pray there's one lost today, they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ at this service. Lord, help us to love and appreciate our mothers. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious name.